from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Matthew Judon, Christian Gonzalez, and Marcus Jones. Basically, we have the Patriots with our number 3 average defensive projection. What we do know about defense suggests that the Patriots will have one of the top defenses in the league. And a big reason for that is they had a very good defense last year, and they're getting back their best pass rusher and 2 of their 3 best cornerbacks, who all missed most of last season. Now, their offense, we don't think is going to be good. We have their offense 30th, and they have a very hard schedule. We have their schedule 2nd. But the defense should be good enough for them to win more games than the 4.5 that Vegas is suggesting that they are going to win.
Aaron Schatz on the Pats Interference podcast with Andrew Callahan. We played that for you earlier. He's got the over on Pat's wins based on their defense. They get Judon back. They get Gonzalez back. They get Marcus Jones back. 6-7 wins. Not like a playoff team or anything, but pretty bullish on the over. Which I don't know if I'm as bullish as him, and I'm not giving similar logic. I think their defense is actually going to drop off from a year ago.
You do?
Yeah.
Based on what?
The schedule, number one, and as much as I think Bill has fallen off in recent years.
Yeah.
I do think the defense comes back to the pack a little bit. He's Travis Thomas, by the way, from Nesson. Thomas experience here on a Friday on WEEI. It's Adam Jones in. No Mego, no Arcan today. So Travis sitting in with us here. We're taking your phone call, 617-779-7937. I just think Bill held the offense back. The offense can be middle of the pack.
Sure.
If the defense even falls off a little bit, I'm not saying they're going to be great, but I can see 6 wins. That's kind of the number that I've been at. He says 6-7 wins. I'm not telling you they're going to be the worst team in the league. There's a lot of the guy sitting in your seat yesterday, Andy Hart from WEEI, thinks 0-17's in play.
What?
Yeah.
Come on, dog.
I've bullied him a little bit, as much as I can bully around Andy Hart. He's short, but he's very muscular. As much as I can bully around Andy Hart, I've bullied him into now like really committing to them going 0-17. But he thinks it's more, his real take is, if I'm being fair to him, his real take is 0-17 is more likely than the playoffs. That's his real take.
I disagree with that take, too.
Me, too. Playoffs more likely. I agree.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
Over?
Yeah.
Winless?
Teams going from the worst team in the league or, like, last place in their division of the playoffs, that happens every year in the NFL. 0-17 has never happened, and a winless team rarely happens. So I'm with you on that, but that's his point. When I say I'm bullish on the over, I'm not talking 9 or 10 wins. I'm talking like 6 wins.
Right.
So you guys can jump in on this, 617-779-7937. In the last break, we were talking about this, though. Travis, you brought this up. And it gets into a little summer viewing, which I wouldn't hate to get into here.
Netflix has announced a documentary series focused on the Karen Reed murder trial. There is no date. There is no title. And so who knows when it's going to be? I guess it might not be this summer. It likely won't be this summer now that we talk it out. But that's something you can look forward to. There's a lot of interest in that trial, you know, being sensitive to the O'Keefe family and everything. There's a lot of interest in that. That's something I will be watching.
Me too.
When it comes out. Again, no date, no title. But that is, it is crazy. We were just talking about this off the air, you know, something hyper-local that turned into just a big national story with lots of national interest. And that's now what this story is, something hyper-local that's turned into a big, big story. It's covered almost daily on TMZ. Yeah. What's going on with the jurors? Now it's a Netflix series.
It's going to be a great series. I wonder what the title will be. It should be Cover Up. Because that's clearly,
that's your title?
That's my title. That's what the hell it was.
Yep.
That's what I feel like.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess you could call it, was it a mistrial? What was it called? A mistrial, technically?
Yep.
I guess you could call it a mistrial.
Yeah.
Maybe for a title. But it's a fascinating, you know, obviously a fascinating case. I think Netflix is smart to kind of scoop it up now. And boy, Netflix loves Boston, huh? You notice that?
What else are they doing with Boston? Murder in Boston. They're actually
following the Sox.
Sox. Oh, I'm sorry. That's a good point. Duh.
What was the Dynasty wasn't on Netflix, though, right?
No. Dynasty was Apple.
That was Apple.
What was Murder in Boston on? HBO Max? Where was that? That wasn't Netflix either, actually.
I want to say it was Hulu.
Oh, was it?
It might be Netflix.
I feel like that was Netflix.
Was it?
I think Netflix loves Boston. How could you not?
Yeah, it's a fair point. How could you not? So we're not going to get that this summer. Is there anything I should be watching this summer, Travis? Is there anything? I said this yesterday. I was solo for a little bit yesterday. So, you know, I was really opening things up, letting our hair down here on WEEI. And I said my wife is going out of town next week for a bachelorette party.
Oh, lucky you.
Her sister's bachelorette
party. Look at you. Solo, baby.
All right. So I'm actually kind of looking forward to being solo very much. I'm like, I got, you know, once the kid goes to bed, 8 o'clock or whatever.
Yes.
Now it's me time. I'm watching what I want.
Hell yeah.
You know, Red Sox, I'll dabble in the Red Sox, but I need something to watch. So I threw out like the Hard Knocks series, which you were talking about. I kind of want to watch Receiver.
You should.
You're watching both.
Done. Done Receiver.
You're already done Receiver?
Yeah.
How many episodes was that?
8, 10, somewhere in there.
You're already done.
Done.
I still didn't even finish Quarterbacks. I liked Quarterback. I didn't even finish Quarterback.
Okay, ready?
Yeah, I'm ready.
Finish Quarterback.
No. I got to go back and finish that
now?
Yes.
Yeah. Bro, you have a week.
Yeah, I know.
Quarterback.
But that's now my week. I've finished watching that. I got to watch something else.
There you go. You asked me. Quarterback, wide receiver, and Hard Knocks. And you're good. Now, you'll like Quarterback. I'm sure you haven't finished, so clearly it was all right.
I liked it.
You're going to love Receiver.
I swear to God, I think the same thing happened when I started Quarterback. My wife was out of town for something, and I had a few days where it's just like, I'm going to watch whatever I want. And I just, when she came back, I just never finished it. I think that's what happened, in all honesty.
Finish it.
So that's power ranking, Quarterback, wide receiver, Hard Knocks.
Oh, no. Power ranking in terms of best to worst.
This Giants Hard Knocks is good.
I would go number one receiver by far.
Receiver's better than quarterback.
Not even close.
Well, I'm not going back to quarterback. That's out. I'm done.
I did like quarterback.
I've lived in a world where I haven't finished it. I wasn't committed to finishing it. I'll just go to receiver then. Okay.
Yeah, jump to receiver. And then I would put Quarterback at 2 over Hard Knocks, and Hard Knocks would be 3rd on my list.
37937. This is another thing. Netflix did do a thing on the marathon bombing. That was maybe a year or two ago.
Oh, that's right.
That was three parts.
And was
well done.
It was well done.
Maybe there is a Boston obsession going on. How much TV do you watch with your wife? Are you guys watching stuff together? How much are you watching on your own? It sounds like if you've already seen Receiver, you're watching a good amount on your own.
So the way it works in my house is my wife has complete control over the television.
So what does she watch?
So she's watching every Housewife city invented.
Okay.
She watches.
She watches my. Kathleen,
that's right up your alley. Kathleen, your reality show.
Kathleen
guy.
Watches the Housewives.
She watches
a lot of. She's a Bravo fan.
She watches the ship.
Below Deck.
Thank you.
Yeah, sure.
Below Deck. She watches all that.
Okay.
I'll.
But you watch with her
with
or
her,
no?
And then I'll go to. So we'll watch in bed, and then she knows. Yeah. Hey, do you mind if I watch the new Below Deck? I'm like, of course. Cue. Go to bed. I'm out.
You just fall asleep.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
I can't make it.
So when are you watching Receiver?
So
when's
when
that
we,
happen?
So what happens is she'll say, "All right, you want to watch a show tonight?" I'm like, "I sure do," and then I get to pick. So then she's not forced, but she'll watch the show I want to watch. She just won't fall asleep. That's
Got
the
it.
Difference.
Got it. So do you like Receiver because you've told me this before? You grew up a Niners fan, anyway, right?
No, it has nothing to do with that.
It's not the Debo Kittle thing?
It's just so good.
Okay. Because my wife My wife is also a Niners fan, so maybe I could
she'll love
maybe
it.
I could get her
to
watch
Kittle
it.
And Debo are great.
Okay.
I think personally, Justin Jefferson stole the entire series. He is a superstar. Superstar. And I knew he was great on the field. And I knew the gritty, and he's got a big personality.
Yep.
But, you know, you get to know these players with shows like this.
Sure.
He is a superstar.
How does receiver compare to Day in the Life, Max Scherzer? That was done, I've heard, many years ago. Fine program.
So that Day in the Life series was Max Scherzer.
Yeah, who else?
Alexander Ovechkin.
Wow.
In fact.
Wow, the great eight.
I garnered the trust of Ovi.
Really?
Want to hear that story?
Sure.
It's actually two.
Yeah, sure.
There's a Boston spin on this, too.
Okay.
Stay with me.
Yeah.
We'll start with Ovi.
Yeah, great.
For some reason, these players trust me. I don't get it. So
you're a very trustworthy guy. I trust you. There's a reason not to trust you.
So Ovi walks in to do the day, to do the shoot.
Sure.
Limping. When I say limping, I mean like rough shape, right? And he sits down, and the camera hasn't cut on yet. I go, hey, man, you good? He's like, my back's killing me. Team doesn't know it yet, but I'm not playing tomorrow against the Flyers.
Wow.
I go, wow, that's breaking news.
People are just sharing stuff like that to you off the air.
That's breaking news.
You know who shares things with me? Nobody. None of the athletes, coaches we talk to on this program. Nothing. That'd be by far the most anybody's ever shared with me ever.
Think about my career at that point if I decide I'm Adam Schefter. I'm running with this.
Yeah.
Right? I'm Woj bomb.
Ovi out tonight.
Right?
Yeah.
By the way, he was not. He did play.
Okay.
Scored a goal, of course. But like, I thought, man, that's a lot of trust to put in me. It also happened in Boston. St. Patty's Day, I'm out drinking.
Okay, well, this explains the trust in you now, because everybody, the whole city's drunk.
Nick
Foligno.
So
yeah.
And Taylor Hall were out at the same bar I happen to be at.
Mm-hmm.
I recognized Taylor Hall, ran up on him just to say what's up, and go to introduce myself. Hey, I'm Travis Thompson. Cuts me off, goes, I know who you are. Nesson's on in our locker room all the time, which makes sense.
Wow.
Right?
Okay.
Rights, with the rights and all that, Nesson and the
Bruins. Yeah,
I'm
sure,
like, okay.
Sure.
I've heard that also from Red Sox, so I think we're just on in a loop, unfortunately, for those guys, right? So.
Can we get Twitch on in some of these clubhouses, locker rooms?
I know, right?
Can we get that going, please?
So I think, my guess is, like, Nesson's just on.
Yep.
And so I go, all right.
Was it like a hangout? Was it like a, I know who you are?
No, he was
or
cool.
Or it was like, hey, I know who you are.
No, he's cool. Cutter Crawford, same way. Like, cool. Like, when they meet you, they know who you are because they see you on the screen.
Huh.
So they're like, no, I know who you are. Okay.
That's not my experience with any of these people.
Really?
For myself personally. Yeah, no, guys, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah.
But see, they probably hear what you're saying.
Yeah, maybe.
They just see me. I'm muted. That's the best way to consume me anyway.
That's a good point.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, on... seen but not heard.
Yeah. So
okay.
He goes, yeah, I know you.
Milford Academy.
So we sit down. I talk to him about everything, right? We're exchanging life stories, right? Great dude. And so sure enough, he gets up to use the restroom.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the worst limp ever. Now, he was out at that time because of a knee anyway. The worst limp ever. I'm like, oh, my God. So he comes back. He sits down. I'm like, bro, like, you seem like you're in pretty rough shape. It's too bad. I thought you guys were going to have a great playoff, or you were going to have a great postseason. He's like, oh, no, I'm playing in the postseason. I'm like, oh, okay, all right. Bro, I went back. I told everybody. On that one, I snitched.
Yeah.
I told that story on TV.
Yep,
I'm like, I saw Taylor Hall. I didn't say where. I saw Taylor Hall. He's walking pretty ginger. I don't think he's going to be. Sure enough, he played in the postseason. He played pretty well.
He did. You know what? I was not his biggest fan, but he did have a good, nice
postseason
run. I mean, you know, when the games really mattered in Game 6 and 7, he didn't really show up. But in general, yes, he came back. He had a bunch of goals when they were trouncing the Panthers. When they needed him, he wasn't there.
Right.
But yes. Okay. Fair enough. Wow. Look at the athletes opening up to you.
The trust. I don't know why.
How about this? I feel like Bob in Cambridge is about to share as well. Bob, go ahead.
Yes, I'm sorry. Travis, you're a welcome addition to Boston Radio.
Thank you.
I think I'll drop a line to Mike Thomas and tell him that you ought to get more airtime. I don't know that he'll
send that over.
Read it, but Jonesy, I did that for you when you first got on the air. So please let me finish my thought on Jaylen Brown.
All the time you need, Bob, sure.
Before you cut me off. I think it's great to have somebody speak the truth about Jaylen Brown. I'm so tired of his goings on. The other day, I think it was you, Jones, tell me if I'm wrong, He couldn't accept the fact that Tatum was more popular than Durant. I think a question was asked, who's the most popular person, sports person in Boston? And you said Tatum. And he said, oh, I don't think so. There is a group of people.
Who said that, I don't think so? Jaylen Brown said, I don't think so?
Andy Hart.
Yes, Andy and I discussed it. I know what you're talking about. Yeah, Andy and I discussed this yesterday. Yeah. So you're sick.
And that's okay. That's a matter of opinion. But my feeling is he's got a strong ego. He'll never be happy being. I don't think he's a 1A. I think he's a 2, and I think he's a really good player. I think he's a star player, but not a superstar.
Okay, well, Bob, you might be right. And let me tell you, I used to feel that way about him too. And I know he doesn't want me to cut him off, but I, you know, Bob, it's nice you put in some words for our good friend Travis and for myself as well. But at some point, we got to jump in and make a point. I just, that gap to me, I used to 100% feel the way he did. That Jaylen's a 2, he can never be a 1, Tatum greater than Jaylen. And I still, if I'm building a team, I'm still starting with Tatum over Jaylen Brown. I am. But that gap to me has shrunk significantly. Like, it's way closer than I ever thought, to the point where now, I now allow for the questioning of, is Jaylen their best player? I disagree with it. I don't feel that way, but you can definitely make a case Jaylen is their best player. And I'm surprised where we are. So does Jaylen want to prove that someday and have his own team? He might. I mean, Bob might be onto something with that. 617-779-7937. We'll get back into the Patriots. If you want to mix in more Jaylen Brown phone calls, you can. Also, the Brandon Ayuk discussion. How much do the Patriots need a receiver like that in their wide receiver room? How do you feel about their wide receiver room? That's right after Trending with Joe Brave.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
It's hard for me to imagine, absent some crazy situation or someone offering them a premium first-round pick, hard to imagine the 49ers actually trade Brandon Ayuk, mainly because they're a very good team, and rarely do very good teams trade very good players right before a season where they're trying to reach the Super Bowl and win it. But if Brandon Ayuk wanted to let the 49ers know that all is not well, he is very upset, there's a lot of discontent, a trade request is a great way to say it.
A lot of Patriots fans want Brandon Ayuk. Not sure all Patriots fans want to pay the going rate. First round pick, we'll see. You can jump in on that here on Jones. No Mego without Arcan. Travis Thomas experience in alongside Travis Thomas from Nesson. Before we get into the Ayuk stuff in the receiver room, let's circle back to what we were talking about earlier in the hour. Okay. Before we got some great storytelling there on Ovi, Scherzer, who else? Taylor Hall.
Yeah, that
athletes,
was nuts.
Athletes just want to talk to you and share stuff with you. That's so
weird.
Interesting.
It's weird.
Mac Jones wanted nothing to do with me. I'm sure.
Really?
Drake May were going to be there. Cora barely wants anything to do with me.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I'm not sure.
Have you played football?
It can't be personal.
That was our first. I think it
is. You don't give off.
I think it is, though.
The only thing I could think is if, because you know how athletes and coaches always say, oh, we don't listen to the media.
Yeah, no, they do.
We keep that stuff out of here.
They clearly do.
BS. They definitely do. So my only thing I'm thinking with you is they've heard some hot takes or two, and they don't like it.
Yep. Oh, yeah, no, that's 1,000% what it is. Oh, yeah, no, that's exactly what it is. Yeah,
you know?
Sometimes the bill comes due on your hot
takes.
Right. Gotta go face-to-face. Sometimes the quarterback wants to lecture you about playing football, and then sometimes that quarterback's now a backup. Sometimes that happens. 617-779-7937. How good can the Patriots be? What do you think?
How good?
Yeah.
7 wins.
Okay. That's really not very good. That's
no.
The ceiling.
And by the way, that 7 wins will feel really good, though, to the fans.
Well, if it's May. If it's Jacoby Brissett, right. I'm not going to feel very good
You're
about 7 wins.
You're not getting the 7 wins with Jacoby Brissett.
I don't think so either. Okay, fair.
So if you get seven wins with Drake May, it'll feel pretty good.
That would feel pretty good.
Because
your
offense was absolutely putrid last season. You had an anemic offense, right?
Yes.
So 7 wins would suggest to me Drake May has at least shown you some flashes that, okay, this makes sense why he was drafted where he is. Future looks bright. We feel good. Let's get him some weapons, offensive line, blah, 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 blah. We can build around this kid. So you get that check. The defense, 7 wins suggest to me the defense did their job of keeping you in every game. I bet in those 7 games there's going to be 2 or 3 you feel like, boy, a move here, a move there. If they didn't turn the ball over here or if this call didn't go their way, they could have won that game. So 7-10 could feel like, hey, a play here, a play there, maybe they win 8-9 games. So you feel good about that. Gerard Mayo, rookie head coach. Hey, you got us to 7 wins. You did better than Bill in his last year. We feel good about that.
Yep.
Just like Drake May,
yep.
You're feeling like the future feels pretty good. Oh, by the way, they have cap space. Oh, by the way, one of these young pup wide receivers should, 7 wins suggest to me, somebody showed up and caught some balls and made some plays out there, whether it's Pop Douglas or Bourne or whoever. We know it won't be Juju. So, overall...
Something tells me Juju wouldn't open up to you much. Something tells me out of all the athletes who are sharing things with you, Juju would not be one.
You know what I would do?
What?
I would love a sit-down, like Barbara Walters, Oprah style, sit-down... real serious one-on-one with Juju Smith-Schuster.
Yeah.
Where I'd sit across from him.
Barred.
Yeah. I don't even wear glasses, but I'd wear glasses that day.
Yeah, I get that.
I don't sit cross-leg, but I'd sit cross-leg. I'd probably have some sort of, legal notepad in front of me.
Yeah.
And I'd say...
Yeah, even if there's nothing written on there, you psych him out a little bit.
Generations Barbara Walters.
You play Juju. I would say, Juju, why are you so immature? Juju, why is it that you have not been able to get your career on track?
And then what do? I storm off. I just storm off. I would storm off is what I would do.
I mean, if
you don't storm off, you limp off.
If he was a real man, he'd answer the questions, and we'd have a great interview. But I'd go at him.
Let me tell you, I had an interview like that with Danny Amendola that didn't go so well. He hung up on me. It wasn't face-to-face, but I had an interview similar to that with Danny Amendola.
Come on.
Yeah. It was like, hey, why are you hurt all the time, man?
You asked that?
I mean, basically, yeah, in as many words. And not only did I ask it, it was like I kept going back to the well on it.
Oh.
I was like, hey, why are you so brittle?
Oh, and he just hung up.
Straight up hung up, yes. Hung up the phone, was like, I'm out.
That's tough. Sometimes it does get – listen, But here's the thing about our job.
And look, if I'm going to evaluate myself in retrospect, did I need to ask like five straight questions about your brittleness and how injured you are?
No doubt.
And why you're not worth your contract. Did I need to ask that like five times in a row?
You were out of pocket.
I did not need to do that.
You were wrong.
No, if I'm gonna fact check myself and go back and critique it, no, I don't need to do that.
You were definitely out of pocket. Yeah. But I will say this.
But he hung up right mid-interview. Yes.
In our thing, if we don't ask the questions sometimes.
Yeah. Gotta ask them.
We get the business.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, callers or viewers, in my case, or whatever. You're gonna hear why'd you ask those softball questions to so and so?
Yeah,
I had such an uncomfortable moment with Bradley Beal, who I, much like you, I had a lot of hot takes that I know he heard, and I about his contract and why are the Wizards investing in this guy? He can't win. He's not a leader. He's terrible at the. At the end of games, all actual things, by the way, that have now been revealed to be true, right?
Yeah, he's gone. He's on Phoenix, and he's not worth that
he's
contract.
He's terrible.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
But I had to interview him for something unrelated. I think it was like a community thing. And he was so mean to me. And I knew.
What does that mean?
I knew.
What do you mean he's so mean to you? What does that mean?
He was mean, bro. He was mean. Like, he had just had a kid, right? And so I was like, hey.
What does he mean about?
I feel like me and his probably firstborn kid are around the same age. So I was like, hey, you know, I have a 2-year-old at home or whatever. You know, you're just trying to connect.
Yeah.
I have a 2-year-old at home.
You mean your kids are the same
age. I said that to him because I knew he. I said, how's fatherhood treating you, right? Which is such just a laid back, like. That's an open up.
Yeah, wouldn't you like to know, Travis? Yeah.
And it was very condescending.
Yeah.
It was like, it's fine.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, follow up.
Yeah.
Are you getting sleep? You know, babies are up on the, he's great. And that's when I knew. I said, okay.
Oh,
I started connecting. I started connecting dots. Like, this guy has heard me talk trash.
Yeah.
And he just doesn't want to talk to me.
Also, like, your kid's great. He sleeps all the time. Come on.
Yeah, right.
Get out of here.
Yeah, no.
Get out of here with that.
Everything's perfect. I was like, oh, really?
Oh, so it's actually bad. I get it. Yeah. I see.
So I connected the dots.
Anybody who says that, you're like, oh, so it's actually terrible. You don't want to say it, but it's actually really bad.
That's right.
Oh, your kid sleeps all the time. The kid's perfect.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I connected the dots.
Up the whole night.
Okay, I was like, okay, this guy knows that I'm out to get him when I do my show or whatever. It's not personal, bro. I'm going by what I see.
Yeah.
Like, this is our job.
Yeah.
We're supposed to talk about what we see and project.
Look, the hot take industry.
That's what we do.
The hot take industry. It's not for everyone. That's for sure. So Bradley Beal, good. I like that's on your list too. Ironically, out of all the people, I've traded Jaylen Brown for so many people. So many people. I've been wrong about all of them, okay? Like, look, sometimes a hot take blows up in your face. Oftentimes with me, a hot take blows up in my face. I have traded Jaylen Brown for so many people.
Yeah.
That the one summer where Bradley Beal's name kept coming up, was one that I refused to trade Jaylen Brown for.
People in D.C.
It's like the one.
They wanted Jaylen.
So many people I would have traded him for. That's one I was like, he's too tiny.
Yeah.
Needs the ball too much.
People in D.C. wanted Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, that makes sense. He's better than Bradley Beal. That makes sense. Yeah. That was one. Very few, but that was one I was right about. 617-779-7937. When are we going to see Drake May on the field? Here's Tom Curran yesterday on Jones and Mego, although there was no Mego. Definitely no Arcan. It's on the Odyssey app if you want to check it out, or on YouTube. Just subscribe to WEEI. Here's what Curran had to say. I think you're going to hear Andy Hart's question at the beginning about Drake May and when we see him.
I was of the belief that Mac Jones was going to start as a rookie for the New England Patriots. I do not feel the same way about Drake May, despite being a Drake May fan. So my question is, do I feel less confident in the rookie quarterback this time around because of the rookie quarterback or because of the guy he's competing with?
The guy he's competing with. You know, the gap between Cam Newton and Mac Jones in terms of being able to get the ball out on time accurately and manipulate things at the line of scrimmage and understand what they were looking at was non-existent. I don't think Drake May has a shot. I think it was Chad Graff. I was reading his story on The Athletic, and he said 35% chance that Drake May is the opening day starter, which certainly isn't walking a plank and saying, I think it's going to happen, but I don't think it's even close to that. I mean, he has to win by friggin' knockout and injury to be starting on day one.
Okay, first of all, injury and knockout. Like, how do you do both of those? You have to knock him out so bad you hurt him? Like, first of all, I don't even get how you do that. Second of all, 35%. Chad Graff thinks 35%. I didn't realize that until Curran said it.
Yeah.
That Chad Graff thinks it's 35% he's going to start. I think it's higher than that. And so I'm not going to commit and say 100%, but I think he's going to start. And the Mac Jones analogy to me is the perfect one. I also think around here, we, as because of Brady early on in Brady's career, that, and Curran covered that, and Curran was very far ahead of the curve with Brady and everything else. Mm-hmm. But I think sometimes we look for the wrong thing in a quarterback. Like what people loved about Mac, you just heard Tom say it, got the ball out quickly, this and that, accuracy. I think we're valuing the wrong thing in 2024. And I think we still think about it like it's Brady replacing Bledsoe in 2001. And accuracy is the key. Being able to not just read a defense, but process a defense. That's another word you heard all the time with Mac.
Yep.
Processing. And I just don't know that that's the main attributes that I look for in a quarterback anymore in 2024. Like, obviously, I want a quarterback who's accurate. And I want a quarterback who can process a defense as opposed to one who can't.
Sure.
But those are just lower on my criteria. I want athleticism. I want a guy who can make a tight window throw, an NFL-level throw, which I just never really felt Mac could do consistently. I'm not saying he never did it, but consistently Mac couldn't make NFL-level throws. So I don't care if you can process, and I don't care if you're accurate if you can't fit it into a tight window. And if you're only accurate because you're dumping it off to the running back, I need a quarterback who makes plays. And I understand that's kind of a blanket term and it's nonspecific, but we all know it when we see it, Travis.
Yeah, it's not blanket.
Mac didn't make plays.
Right.
Drake May is going to make mistakes.
That's right.
But as long as you're out there making plays, I think that's worth it. And let me land the plane for you with like a very modern analogy to cross sports. Caitlin Clark turns it over a crap load, right?
Yes,
people are like, oh my God, she's making all these mistakes. She also had 19 assists the other night.
That's right.
And to me, I'm willing to put up with some of the mistakes if you're making plays. You're going to throw a head-scratching interception. Fine. Are you also throwing two touchdowns? Because what Mac Jones was doing was throwing two head-scratching interceptions and not making any positive plays on the other side. So I'm not stuck in 2001.
Yeah.
I'm not stuck in 2021 when Mac Jones was coming in. I want to see a quarterback who can make plays. And to me, Brissett just doesn't do that. Brissett can process and he's somewhat accurate, I guess. And he has a good touchdown to interception ratio. He's not going to turn it over. But he's also not going to make plays. Mm-hmm. And I just skew way more to that in 2024. Way more to that.
Yeah, you make a great point. Even as you were talking, Josh Allen comes to mind, too.
Yeah,
that's another
exactly.
guy who turns the ball over, but is just making ridiculous plays. I actually put a lot more onus on Alex Van Pelt.
Okay.
And here's what I mean. You know, if we're going to go the Jacoby Brissett route, then that tells me this is a very vanilla offense. You know, stand back there in the pocket, read the defense.
Hand off to Ramondre.
Hand off to Ramondre.
It's okay to punt. We'll win on defense.
Down.
Yeah, exactly.
Then if we're going to have that offense.
You can't win that way.
Let's table that discussion. If that is going to be the offense, what we just described from mm-hmm. Alex Van Pelt,
mm-hmm.
then by all means, let's get the Jacoby Brissett train running here. And, hell, just redshirt Drake May. Great. If Alex Van Pelt is a creative play caller.
Oh, see, I think he's not.
And he's a know-your-personnel type.
I'm not sure he is.
Then I want to get to Drake May sooner than later because now we're swimming in the waters that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I want to see Drake May on bootlegs. I want to see Drake May with RPOs. I want to see Drake May with waggles. I want to see Drake May on the move.
Well, I like QB waggle. And Madden, I like QB waggle.
Creativity.
Yeah.
If we are going to have a vanilla offense, then I don't need to see Drake May. Not this year. Let him get a better line.
No, and so
let him get better weapons.
I agree with you on that. Like Drake May, you don't need to have Drake May running an offense that won't suit him, right? So, but when you say, what's Van Pelt going to run, what were those Cleveland offenses?
I know.
Those Cleveland offenses were.
But let's go personnel here. Let's be fair.
When they got Flacco, they let it rip.
You kind of, listen, in terms of philosophy, offensive and defensive, this is just me personally. I've always taken to coaches who are more personnel-based.
Yeah.
I never like the guy who's like, this is my system, run it or don't. Okay, great. Just in the same way, let's look in the division. Tua looked awful with a defensive head coach and had no offensive direction. He looked awful. No one thought he could play. All of a sudden, they get this offensive mind in there as a head coach. They change philosophies. They get, I'm going to use this word again, creative. And wow, okay, Tua, he's actually pretty damn good. he might get paid. I don't know if it's going to be from the Dolphins.
Right.
But he's going to get a bag of money. He belongs in the league. That's what I'm saying. That's why I'm putting a lot of pressure on Alex Van Pelt. Maybe it's unfair, but I just need to know from a philosophical standpoint, what are we doing offensively? If it's a personnel-based thing,
what do you think
of how we're? I don't know.
What do you think?
It's too many unknowns.
What do you think?
I don't know about Gerard Mayo. I don't know.
But what we know what Cleveland was, and Cleveland was
when Flacco got in.
No. When Flacco got in, they let it rip. I agree. But that was
so it could be personnel-based. That's my point.
Okay, I hope so.
If it's personnel-based, you and I are going to be right, and we're going to see Drake soon. And they're going to play. They're going to call games to Drake's strength.
They should do that. That's what I agree.
That's where we're in line with.
I agree with you. That's what a good offensive coordinator does.
Yes.
Is this guy a good offensive coordinator?
But we don't know, bro. We don't know. But it's so many unknowns with this team.
I do tend to think that even a so-so offensive coordinator,
sure,
the quarterback's good enough, you can make the offensive coordinator look pretty good.
Like Nathaniel Hackett?
Thank you.
Right?
Thank you. Aaron Rodgers can make Nathaniel Hackett look pretty good.
Right.
You know, some of the quarterbacks he had in Denver, who did he have? Russell Wilson? Not so much.
Right.
And I liked Russ for a time.
Yeah.
617-779-7937. You guys can jump in on that. We'll get the triple play next.
It's going to be a triple play.
It's time for the triple play.
Yes! Triple play.
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best.
Triples certainly is best. And Triple Play today is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the 99 the day after the Red Sox win. And 99 Rewards members get a free kids meal with every adult entree purchase. The 99 Restaurant, the official family restaurant of the Boston Red Sox. It is a Friday. That means it is fill in the blank Friday. We got a couple of statements and you guys are going to fill in the blank. So let's fill in our first blank.
Number one.
Red Sox are back in action. They're kicking off a three-game series with the L.A. Dodgers. Jones, I'll go to you first.
Okay.
The Red Sox need to blank against the Dodgers to keep my hopes high.
Okay, I just think they need to win a game. And tell me if you think I'm lowering the bar too much. I've now been told this the last couple of days, that I've lowered the bar too much for the Red Sox. I only want them to add, like, Justin Turner and a starter. I'm happy if they add more. But my demand is they add something like that. So I've been told I've lowered the bar. I just think you got to win a game off the Dodgers. Don't get swept. You get swept, I'm going to start to freak out a little bit.
And why?
I'm admittedly reactionary. That's why, because I'm a little reactionary. You get swept by the Dodgers, I might go, argh. But take a game. Just take a game off the Dodgers. Then who do they have on the rest of the trip? I'm trying to remember. I know you have Seattle eventually.
Colorado.
There's another playoff
back
team.
Back home against
Colorado,
the Yankees.
Yankees. So, right. So,
and
like,
Seattle.
So, like, look, take a game off the Dodgers. If you do better, awesome. Then, you know, you probably sweep the Rockies, take two out of three from the Yankees. You win a game off Seattle, maybe, maybe not. You're at the trade deadline. So just do not get swept. Don't come off the All-Star break with Jaron Duran winning All-Star Game MVP, playing really well going into the break. Don't get flat, get swept by the Dodgers. That's all I'm asking, and I'm still all in.
I have zero stock in this series for anything to change how I feel about the Red Sox. So mine is just stay healthy. No catastrophic injuries. That's all I ask. No Devers pulled this or sprained that. Or
no Ovechkin, bad back.
Yeah,
no Taylor Hall.
We don't need any of that.
We don't need any of that. No.
Just come out of this healthy no matter what happens in L.A. I'm cool with it.
Okay, so don't get hurt. I just win again. Just take one. Take one. That's all I'm asking.
That's all you need. All right, let's go to our second fill in the blank.
Number two.
Not just a big weekend for the Red Sox, but big weekend for us here at WEEI. Our own Joe Castiglione is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Travis, you're up first for this one. Joe Castiglione's Hall of Fame speech tomorrow will be blank.
Epic. Just like everything else he does. You know, I feel very fortunate right now to even be here in this market. Because if you notice, there are a lot of older guard, you know, these iconic broadcasters sort of phasing out right now, retiring, moving on to other things. And,
yeah, right. I mean, Gorman.
Yeah. Edwards.
Jack Edwards. Yeah. Castig has, you know, been doing it for a long time.
So
yeah.
As someone who did not grow up here, but am very much aware of all the broadcasters here and their contributions for years to Boston sports, I quite frankly feel honored to be in the fraternity. So anytime these guys talk and give these speeches, I'm always dialed in. So I'm epic, just like his entire career has been.
Let me tell you, it's going to be unbelievable, as in, can you believe it?
It's good.
When it comes to Castiglione, Joe Castiglione, as a phenomenal broadcaster, been doing it forever. I think we all know that. Great, great work. Great champion of the Jimmy Fund, which I think he deserves a lot of credit for as well. I know you've been a part of that side. Yes. We're here on the radio telethon side.
Yes.
I took Castig's class at Northeastern. He had, at the time, now I'm not sure what he still does, but this was, I believe it was in 2005 maybe, so right after they won the World Series. But at the time, I believe Joe, in the fall, would teach a class at Northeastern once a week, one day a week. And I think he also taught at like Franklin Pierce or something like that in New Hampshire. I believe that was the other school. There were two schools. Don't hold me to the second one.
Wow.
But I took Castiglione's class at Northeastern. And it was just like an interesting thing. You read his book. That was the big assignment. I still have his book. Joe's book. He wrote one a long time ago about the beginning of his career. If you don't know, his career started in Cleveland. He covered the Cleveland Indians at the time. Before he came over here and started calling games, I think he might have done a year in another market as well. I'm trying to remember where.
Wow.
And so he's been around the big leagues for a while. A lot of good stories in there. Very interesting to take that class from like an actual real person in the field. You know, not a knock on some of these professors, but like someone very established, someone very, very talented, someone very successful going into Cooperstown now. And you saw him doing his job in real time. Like half the time it's like, oh, we don't have class this week because Joe Castiglione's calling a playoff game.
Wow.
And he's got to go to, I think it was 2005, I believe. So like that year they got knocked out against the White Sox.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, he's calling a game in Chicago. We don't have class today. So, you know, that sort of thing. And it was a great experience. And it's one of those things where when you're learning, I'm sure you did this, right? You wanted to get into media when you were at Towson, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So, like, you know, you see one of those tangible things and you're like, oh, cool. This is somebody who actually does it.
Yeah.
He actually listened to all of our stuff, talk radio segments, update segments. Mm-hmm. We'd write copy for whatever we were doing, radio or television or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you were actually getting it read by Joe Castiglione. It was like a good experience.
That's awesome, man. I just hope you and I both continue to have the runway that we have and we can get that longevity. Like a lot of these icons have.
Oh, man, you think that long? Because Stig's been doing it for what, 40? Forever.
All these dudes.
40-something years.
I mean, we just named two or three guys that's been doing it forever, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of it, though. I think in this town, like, it's not just the fact that you're doing it at a high level. It's how long can you do it?
Yep, sure. 41 years. I don't know that I'm going to make it that far. But
you never know.
Credit to Castig. It's going to be must watch.
It's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's go to our third fill in the blank.
Number three.
Jonesy, you're the golf expert here. Why don't you tell us about this one? The Open Championship taking place in Scotland. Second round officially done. Tiger Woods once again missed the cut. And I should say, not just missed it, he was way off of the cut. It was 5 over par. He finished 14 over par on the tournament. So I'll ask you, Jones, Tiger Woods' chances of ever winning a PGA golf event again are blank.
Yeah, zero. He's not winning. He's not winning any more tournaments. I thought this was just a major, which he's definitely not winning. He's not winning any more tournaments. Let me tell you, as much of a golf expert as I am, and Travis, the older I get, we're a similar age. The older I get, I've now forced myself to be like, watch some golf. Flip it on a Sunday. Okay, it's the summer. There's not a lot going on. It's just baseball. Flip it on a Sunday. I've always been I always watch the majors. Like that's something I've always done. But like flip on the Travelers Championship on a Sunday or something
right,
like that.
Right, right.
Start following golf a little bit. So I fancy myself as somewhat of a golf gambler. I like to bet on golf. I know you like to gamble as well.
Oh yeah.
Matt Fitzpatrick, I'm a golf expert. I had Matt Fitzpatrick and yesterday I was feeling myself one under, nice round in the afternoon, feeling pretty good about it. Woke up, didn't really think much of it, wasn't watching in the morning, finally popped it on, looked at the leaderboard, 7 over today. So I am no golf expert, but put me down for 0 on Tiger Woods winning another tournament, never mind a major.
Yeah, it's finito. That's my word. It's over. I think that car accident really finished him, to be honest with you. He was starting to kind of sort of play a little bit better before that accident. And then the accident happened, and no one even thought he would play golf again. So in a way, he is a winner for the fact that he was able to come back from that and even have a chance to make the cut, even though he's missing it. But I think that car accident really, quite frankly, ended any chance that Tiger had it coming back and being any semblance of what he used to be.
Not a three, a curveball. Tiger Woods is in the top 10 of the – you seen this ESPN 100 list?
I did.
Since 2000? So
yeah.
Tiger was 8th.
Brady was five. Top five were in reverse order. Brady five, LeBron four, Messi three, Serena two, Phelps one. Any thoughts on that? We spent some time on this yesterday.
Yeah, not in the top 10. I mean, I feel like everyone else, Brady, I mean, you have more rings than anyone. You're the Lord of the Rings. I feel like he could have definitely been higher. I had more issues later in the list.
Oh, like who?
I had, like, I'm a fight fan, so having, like, John Jones, I would need the list in front of me, but I believe he was in the 60s somewhere.
Should he be higher or lower?
He should be way low. Bro, he's the greatest.
Meaning lower, like closer to one.
Yes. Oh, okay. He is the greatest combat athlete of all time. So how is he not higher? Floyd Mayweather was, like, 20-something. I thought he should have been closer to the top. You know, Michael Phelps being number
one. Because Mayweather was ducking Pacquiao until Pacquiao couldn't fight anymore?
So actually, it's funny you make that joke. I actually don't think Floyd Mayweather gets enough credit for when he was Pretty Boy Floyd, when he was fighting everyone. He fought everyone. And he didn't have, he's always been defensive, but he would stand in the center of the ring and he would trade with you. Everyone thinks of Money Mayweather, the De La Hoya fight. The Pacquiao fight way too late.
Yeah,
the McGregor circus.
I ordered that one. I'm bitter.
Right?
About that
of course
one.
You
yeah,
did.
Yeah, yeah.
And so he should get more credit for Pretty Boy Floyd era when he did fight all the top of the guys in his sport at the time.
So you're grudging all those guys.
He was 20 something. He should be closer to the top. And then Phelps being number one, I don't have a problem with.
Oh,
I
do, but you're a Baltimore guy.
Well, but again, I get why he's won. Let me just say that. I at least understand it. Mm. But if you're going by that criteria, then why is Katie Ledecky 15th or whatever she was, 16th?
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense. She's the most decorated Olympian on the women's side in the same sport, but Phelps is one? Okay.
Swimming a sport, yes or no?
Of course it is. Listen, I can't swim. So you will not catch me disrespecting swimming.
I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, we had this discussion last week.
My ass cannot swim.
Okay, so you respect it?
Yes.
Okay.
I will not slander swimming.
Here's the thing. I was thinking about this today. Because I got a lot of flack on swimming, which is like a borderline sport. Michael Phelps is definitely not the number one athlete since 2000. Definitely not. But like the more I was thinking about it, Michael Phelps couldn't cut it in team sports. Couldn't even cut it on sports on land. So he finally said, okay, well, where can I be good? And they threw him in the pool, and that's finally where. And by the way, it's such a privileged sport on top of that. Like if you want to talk about that, how many people have the time to do swimming lessons, pool time, all this other stuff. So it's a privileged sport, which really cuts down on the amount of people who can participate in it. I don't respect it. And here's how I framed it yesterday. What's more likely? Your kid is the next Michael Phelps or your kid is the next LeBron or Brady?
Right.
Like, I think it's far, far more likely that you become the next Michael Phelps.
They're great athletes, though, bro. You tripping. I can't even swim, I'm giving props.
I know you can't, but like my 6-year-old can. So like I don't know. Can your kids swim?
Yeah, they can. They got to save dad, man.
There you go. All right, good.
I need them.
Okay, I wonder what they think about it. They're like, this guy. Come on, Brady, LeBron.
I mean, listen. You know, I said I'm a fight fan. All these fighters swim for cardio. I think it's really a tough sport. I respect them as athletes.
Yeah, that's their warm up for their actual sport. Yeah, exactly. I also not to do this because I already got Ryan mad about me. I didn't realize you were a fight guy. Anything that needs a judge, kind of sneaky, not a sport.
So you're going to tell me fight like
it's
MMA
kinda,
or
it's
boxing isn't
sneaky,
a sport?
Not a sport because the judges are so corrupt. They're so corrupt.
Oh my god,
so corrupt.
That I won't disagree with.
Yeah,
but to say it's not a sport is kind of
yeah. But like, how do you? Who even? You don't even know who wins. It's up to the corrupt judge. You don't even know who wins.
It's not always up to the corrupt judge, my friend.
Well, who's it up to?
Who gets knocked the hell out?
So if somebody gets knocked out, that's true. That's what Arcan said.
So it's only a sport if someone goes night night in your boat.
No. It's there's a judge. I really don't want to make it a sport. Oh, all sports have referees. Yeah, that's different. They don't pick the score at the end. 617-779-7937. You want to jump in on this? Travis now sees why athletes don't want to talk to me. We'll get back into your thoughts, and we'll get back to the Red Sox. That's coming up next.
It's going to be a triple play.
It's time for the triple play.
Yes! Triple play.
The top three burning questions of the day.
And there's three.
With Jones and Mego.
Triples is best. Triples is best.
Triples certainly is best. And Triple Play Today is brought to you by the 99 Restaurants. Visit the 99 the day after the Red Sox win. And 99 Rewards members get a free kids meal with every adult entree purchase. The 99 Restaurant, the official family restaurant of the Boston Red Sox. It is a Friday. That means it is fill in the blank Friday. We got a couple of statements, and you guys are going to fill in the blanks. So let's fill in our first blank.
Number one.
Red Sox are back in action. They're kicking off a three-game series with the LA Dodgers. Jones, I'll go to you first. Okay. The Red Sox need to blank against the Dodgers to keep my hopes high.
Okay, I just think they need to win a game. And tell me if you think I'm lowering the bar too much. I've now been told this the last couple of days, that I've lowered the bar too much for the Red Sox. I only want them to add, like, Justin Turner and a starter. I'm happy if they add more, but my demand is they add something like that. So I've been told I've lowered the bar. I just think you got to win a game off the Dodgers. Don't get swept. You get swept, I'm going to start to freak out a little bit. And
why?
I'm admittedly reactionary. That's why, because I'm a little reactionary. You get swept by the Dodgers, I might go, argh. But take a game. Just take a game off the Dodgers. Then who do they have on the rest of the trip? I'm trying to remember. I know you have Seattle eventually.
Colorado.
There's another playoff
back
team.
Back home against
Colorado,
the
Yankees. Yankees.
So, right.
And
so, like,
Seattle.
So, like, look, take a game off the Dodgers. If you do better, awesome. Then, you know, you probably sweep the Rockies. You take two out of three from the Yankees. You win a game off Seattle. Maybe, maybe not. You're at the trade deadline. So just do not get swept. Don't come off the All-Star break with Jaron Duran winning All-Star Game MVP, playing really well going into the break. Don't get flat, get swept by the Dodgers. That's all I'm asking, and I'm still all in.
I have zero stock in this series for anything to change how I feel about the Red Sox, so mine is just stay healthy. No catastrophic injuries. That's all I ask. No Devers pulled this or sprained that. Or
no Ovechkin bad back.
Yeah,
no Taylor Hall.
We don't need any of that.
We don't need any of that. No.
Just come out of this healthy no matter what happens in L.A. I'm cool with it.
Okay, so don't get hurt. I just win again. Just take one. Take one. That's all I'm asking.
That's all you need. All right, let's go to our second fill in the blank.
Number two.
Not just a big weekend for the Red Sox, but big weekend for us here at WEEI. Our own Joe Castiglione is getting inducted into the Hall of Fame. Travis, you're up first for this one. Joe Castiglione's Hall of Fame speech tomorrow will be blank.
Epic. Just like everything else he does. You know, I feel very fortunate right now to even be here in this market. Because if you notice, there are a lot of older guard, you know, these iconic broadcasters sort of phasing out right now, retiring, moving on to other things. And,
yeah, right. I mean, Gorman.
Yeah.
Edwards.
Jack Edwards.
Yeah. Castig has, you know, been doing it for a long time.
So
yeah.
As someone who did not grow up here, but am very much aware of all the broadcasters here and their contributions for years to Boston sports, I quite frankly feel honored to be in the fraternity. So anytime these guys talk and give these speeches, I'm always dialed in. So I'm epic, just like his entire career has been.
Let me tell you, it's going to be unbelievable, as in, can you believe it?
It's good.
When it comes to Castiglione, Joe Castiglione, as a phenomenal broadcaster, been doing it forever. I think we all know that. Great, great work. Great champion of the Jimmy Fund, which I think he deserves a lot of credit for as well. I know you've been a part of that on the television side.
Yes.
We're here on the radio telethon side.
Yes.
I took Castig's class at Northeastern. He had, at the time, now I'm not sure what he still does, but this was, I believe it was in 2005 maybe, so right after they won the World Series. But at the time, I believe Joe, in the fall, would teach a class at Northeastern once a week, one day a week. And I think he also taught at, like, Franklin Pierce or something like that in New Hampshire. I believe that was the other school. There were two schools. Don't hold me to the second one.
Wow.
But I took Castiglione's class at Northeastern. And, it was just like an interesting thing. You read his book. That was the big assignment. I still have his book. Joe's book. He wrote one a long time ago about the beginning of his career, if you don't know. His career started in Cleveland. He covered the Cleveland Indians at the time. Before he came over here and started calling games, I think he might have done a year in another market as well. I'm trying to remember where.
Wow.
And so he's been around the big leagues for a while. A lot of good stories in there. Very interesting to take that class from, like, an actual real person in the field. You know, not a knock on some of these professors, but, like, someone very established, someone very, very talented, someone very successful going into Cooperstown now. And you saw him doing his job in real time. Like half the time it's like, oh, we don't have class this week because Joe Castiglione's calling a playoff game. Wow. And he's got to go to, I think it was 2005, I believe. So like that year they got knocked out against the White Sox.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, we're he's calling a game in Chicago. We don't have class today. So, you know, that sort of thing. And no, it was great. It was a great experience. And it's one of those things wow. where when you're learning, I'm sure you did this, right? You wanted to get into media when you were at Towson, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So like, you know, you see one of those tangible things and you're like, oh, cool. This is somebody who actually does it.
Yeah.
He actually listened to all of our stuff, talk radio segments, update segments. Mm-hmm. We'd write copy for whatever we were doing, radio or television or whatever. Mm-hmm. And you were actually getting it read by Joe Castiglione. It was like a good experience.
That's awesome, man. I just hope you and I both continue to have the runway that we have and we can get that longevity like a lot of these icons
have.
Oh,
man, you think that long? Because Stig's been doing it for what, 40? Forever?
All these dudes.
40-something years.
I mean, we just named two or three guys that's been doing it forever, right?
Yeah.
So that's part of it, though. I think in this town, like, it's not just the fact that you're doing it at a high level. It's how long can you do it?
Yep, sure. 41 years. I don't know that I'm going to make it that far. But
you never know.
Credit to Castig. It's going to be must-watch.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. All right, let's go to our third fill in the blank.
Number three.
Jonesy, you're the golf expert here. Why don't you tell us about this one? The Open Championship taking place in Scotland. Second round officially done. Tiger Woods once again missed the cut. And I should say, not just missed it, he was way off of the cut. It was 5 over par. He finished 14 over par on the tournament. So I'll ask you, Jones, Tiger Woods' chances of ever winning a PGA golf event again are blank.
Yeah, zero. He's not winning. He's not winning any more tournaments. I thought this was just a major, which he's definitely not winning. He's not winning any more tournaments. Let me tell you, as much of a golf expert as I am, and Travis, the older I get, we're a similar age. The older I get, I've now forced myself to be like, watch some golf. Flip it on a Sunday. Okay, it's the summer. There's not a lot going on. It's just baseball. Flip it on a Sunday. I've always been I always watch the majors. Like that's something I've always done. But like flip on the Travelers Championship on a Sunday or something
right,
like that.
Right, right.
Start following golf a little bit. So I fancy myself as somewhat of a golf gambler. I like to bet on golf. I know you like to gamble as well.
Oh yeah.
Matt Fitzpatrick, I'm a golf expert. I had Matt Fitzpatrick and yesterday I was feeling myself 1 under, nice round in the afternoon, feeling pretty good about it. Woke up, didn't really think much of it, wasn't watching in the morning, finally popped it on, looked at the leaderboard, 7 over today. So I am no golf expert, but put me down for zero on Tiger Woods winning another tournament, never mind a major.
Yeah, it's finito. That's my word. It's over. I think that car accident really finished him, to be honest with you. He was starting to kind of sort of play a little bit better before that accident. And then the accident happened, and no one even thought he would play golf again. So in a way, he is a winner for the fact that he was able to come back from that and even have a chance to make the cut, even though he's missing it. But I think that car accident really, quite frankly, ended any chance that Tiger had it coming back and being any semblance of what he used to be.
Not a three, a curveball. Tiger Woods is in the top 10 of the – you seen this ESPN 100 list?
I did.
Since 2000? So
yeah.
Tiger was 8th. Brady was 5. Top yeah. 5 were in reverse order. Brady 5, LeBron 4, Messi 3, Serena 2, Phelps 1. Any thoughts on that? We spent some time on this yesterday.
Yeah, not in the top 10. I mean, I feel like everyone else. Brady, I mean, you have more rings than anyone. You're the Lord of the Rings. I feel like he could have definitely been higher. I had more issues later in the list.
Oh, like who?
I had like I'm a fight fan, so okay. Having like John Jones, I would need the list in front of me, but I believe he was in the 60s somewhere.
Should he be higher or lower?
He should be way bro, he's the greatest.
Meaning lower, like closer to
yes.
one.
Oh, okay. He is the greatest combat athlete of all time. So how is he not higher? Floyd Mayweather was like 20-something. I thought he should have been closer to the top. You know, Michael Phelps being number
one. Because Mayweather was ducking Pacquiao until Pacquiao couldn't fight anymore?
So actually, it's funny you make that joke. I actually don't think Floyd Mayweather gets enough credit for when he was Pretty Boy Floyd, when he was fighting everyone. He fought everyone. And he didn't have – he's always been defensive, but he would stand in the center of the ring and he would trade with you. Everyone thinks of Money Mayweather, the De La Hoya fight, the Pacquiao fight way too late, McGregor circus.
I ordered that one. I'm bitter
right?
About that
of course
one.
You
yeah,
did.
Yeah.
And so he should get more credit for Pretty Boy Floyd era when he did fight all the top of the guys in his sport at the time.
So you're grudging all those guys.
He was 20-something. He should be closer to the top. And then Phelps being number one, I don't have a problem with.
Oh, I do, but you're a Baltimore guy.
Well, but again, I get why he's won. Let me just say that. I at least understand it. Mm. But if you're going by that criteria, then why is Katie Ledecky 15th or whatever she was, 16th?
Yep.
That doesn't make any sense. She's the most decorated Olympian on the women's side in the same sport, but Phelps is one? Okay.
Swimming a sport, yes or no?
Of course it is. Listen, I can't swim. So you will not catch me disrespecting swimming.
I don't know about that.
Well, yeah, we had this discussion last week.
My ass cannot swim.
Okay, so you respect it?
Yes.
Okay.
I will not slander swimming.
Here's the thing. I was thinking about this today. I got a lot of flack on swimming, which is like a borderline sport. Michael Phelps is definitely not the number one athlete since 2000. Definitely not. But like the more I was thinking about it, Michael Phelps couldn't cut it in team sports. Couldn't even cut it on sports on land. So he finally said, okay, well, where can I be good? And they threw him in the pool, and that's finally where. And by the way, it's such a privileged sport on top of that. Like, if you want to talk about that, how many people have the time to do swimming lessons, pool time, all this other stuff? So it's a privileged sport, which really cuts down on the amount of people who can participate in it. I don't respect it. And here's how I framed it yesterday. What's more likely? Your kid is the next Michael Phelps, or your kid is the next LeBron or Brady?
Right.
I think it's far, far more likely that you become the next Michael Phelps.
They're great athletes, though, bro. You tripping. I can't even swim, I'm giving props.
I know you can't, but like my 6-year-old can. So like I don't know. Can your kids swim?
Yeah, they can. They gotta save dad, man.
There you go. All right, good.
I need them.
Okay, I wonder what they think about it. They're like, this guy. Come on, Brady, LeBron.
I mean, listen, you know, I said I'm a fight fan. All these fighters swim for cardio. I think it's really a tough sport. I respect them as athletes.
Yeah, that's their warm-up for their actual sport. Yeah, exactly. I also, not to do this, because I already got Ryan mad about me. I didn't realize you were a fight guy. Anything that needs a judge, kind of sneaky, not a sport.
So you're going to tell me boxing
isn't sneaky,
a sport?
Not a sport because the judges are so corrupt. They're so corrupt.
Oh, my God.
So corrupt.
That I won't disagree with.
Yeah.
But to say it's not a sport is kind of.
Yeah, but like, you don't even know who wins. It's up to the corrupt judge. You don't even know who wins.
It's not always up to the corrupt judge, my friend.
Who's it up to?
Who gets knocked out?
So if somebody gets knocked out, that's true. That's what Arkansas
said. So it's only a sport if someone goes night night in your boat?
No. If there's a judge, I really don't want to make it a sport. Oh, all sports have referees. Yeah, that's different. They don't pick the score at the end. 617-779-7937. You want to jump in on this? Travis now sees why athletes don't want to talk to me. We'll get back into your thoughts, and we'll get back to the Red Sox. That's coming up next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center... Keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.